Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, October 16th, 2016. I am your host, Brother Ben, from the battlefield city of La Crosse, Wisconsin. And today is my wife's birthday, so I'm happy for that. We had a good day yesterday, and I'm hoping that the next day is also a good day. Which is to say. Funny. But anyway, I don't know why I was thinking, well, I went blank there for a second. But anyway, we're going to be doing... We're going to be doing the book of 2 Corinthians today. 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4, at least as much of that as possible. So if you want to get your Bibles handy, we'll turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. Let's see. Here we go. I need my coffee. That's why I'm like this. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, nor tablets of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as ourselves, but sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and graven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? All right, so pause for a second. So, first things first, do we begin to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles have of commendation to you and letters of commendation from you? So, Paul is basically saying, even though I'm proud of you as a church, I cannot brag about you, and I cannot have you brag about yourselves. I cannot brag about myself. We're not supposed to do that kind of thing. Ye are our epistles written in our hearts. Okay, so it is kind of that they're saying nice things about them. You know, it's not, but they're not necessarily bragging. It's, I'm trying to think what I was going to say. It's not that they're outright bragging about them, the church, but they're saying that they don't need to have letters of commendation. You know, it's a status kind of thing where you have big wigs say nice things, I guess. And maybe that's what I'm getting at for the first part here. You know, we don't need these prestigious titles, or we don't need these particular admonishments and recommendations from his society or that society, perhaps. My big accomplishment, one of my big accomplishments, Paul's saying, is the fact that this church has progressed and has grown because of the will of the Lord. Now he's getting into, with verse 3, it is the Spirit of the living God. It's nothing, nothing meant to be fleshly. Trust through Christ. Meaning that this church project, it's all because of God. Yes, there's the aspect of the ministering to the church with the first letter and helping it grow and whatnot. But that's ultimately, Paul's just merely doing what the Lord had already told him he was supposed to do as a duty. It's not like he's providing any sort of expert engineering, you know, like an Apple software programmer or nothing. He's just doing what he's supposed to do in the first place. He's also saying that, also encouraging us to think of this more as a work of the Spirit, that it's not meant to be something that we think we're able to accomplish all on our own. And he's saying, yeah, there's that aspect of physical works of the degree, and that God had at one point, you know, the law, you know, the physical law from the old covenant. But with the new covenant, it's more of it's the work of the Lord, more of it's the spiritual work. It's different now. And I've always been the person who, I know in my heart that I could never really be that guy who I'm trying to think what was good. I've never been that guy who's been, well, inside the box. You know, I've always been a very unique, very strange person, but strange in a good way. But, you know, I've never been somebody who's been a part of official clique. I've never been somebody who been that way, and I think that might be a good thing that I've been that way. But I think that's kind of the point. You know, God takes a bunch of people who are rejected from societal standards. You know, that's one reason why Jesus looked at the prostitutes and the tax collectors of this world to be able to form that church out of. You know, the new covenant, he wanted them to get saved. You know, he wanted Jews to get saved and Gentiles to get saved, everybody to get saved, even these social elites. He wanted them to repent of their evil ways and their faith and trust in Christ. You know, he wanted the, even though he knew that the Pharisees weren't interested, he wanted the Pharisees to just stop what you're doing. Stop trying to think that you are a religious elite trying to be as though you can earn everything to heaven, as though you're better than somebody else. This is an interesting little commentary from John Wesley. In 2 Corinthians 3:9, John Wesley says, "The ministration of condemnation, such the Mosaic dispensation proved to all the Jews who rejected the gospel, whereas through the gospel, hence called the ministration of holiness, of righteousness, God both imputed and imparted righteousness to all believers. But how can the moral law, which alone was engraved on stone, B, the administration of condemnation, if it requires no more than a sincere obedience, such as is proportioned to our infirm state. If this is sufficient to justify us, then the law ceases to be a ministration of condemnation. It becomes flatly, to the contrary to the apostles' doctrine, the ministration of righteousness. So, kind of confused by that. Most of the time when I read John Wesley's little notes, it makes sense, but... Okay, so it's, if I'm reading John Wesley's remark right, such Mosaic dispensation proved to all the Jews who reject the gospel, whereas through the gospel, God both imputed and imparted righteousness to all believers. Okay, so he's remarking on the idea that one of the reasons why many of the Jews rejected the gospel is because of the lie that the Roman guards said, but at the same time, it's also in the aspect of they didn't want to give up that ability to earn their way to heaven. And unfortunately, you know, that's how some people are. You know, they like to think that they're a good person and that you can't really talk some of them out of that, unfortunately, because it requires that they actually think of themselves as not being a good person. And that's a shame, you know. I mean, I've wanted to, in my aspect, be able to do certain things myself. I have two conflicting natures, and I suppose every Christian has this, but on the one hand, I know that I can't really earn anything, that what I have in my life is all because of God, but at the same time, I also have that impulse, maybe because of the flesh, or maybe it's because I was emotionally and verbally bullied as a kid, and it's my defense mechanism from that. But, you know, at the same time, I want to, at times, feel like I'm right, or feel like what I'm doing isn't something that people are going to laugh at. And I know that that feeling is wrong. You know, I question myself constantly, partially because my depression acts up where I think that people are mocking me and behind my back, and people are like, oh, that guy's wasting his time with that stupid Christian stuff. Oh, why do you have to go to church on Sunday? Oh, how come he has such conservative views? Why is he such a party pooper? Blah, 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 you know? Or that guy is too imaginative, that guy doesn't know what he's doing, and that guy's an idiot, blah, 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 blah. You know, I just get that feeling that sometimes people talk like that, including people who are close to me. And it's not true, as true as it probably really is. And whether any of that's true or not is irrelevant. You know, I'm not going to dwell on that. Even though my mind might be tempted to dwell on those type of thoughts, you know, in regards to seeing how certain people treat me at work and whatnot, or just seeing where my life is right now. And then I'm like, on the one hand, I want to overcome that and try to be that guy who's like, oh yeah, I did it all, blah, blah, blah. But there's that fleshly impulse in me. But at the same time, there's also God telling you, no, you cannot do that. That's never worked. None of the things in your life are things that you've earned. None of them. None of them. None of them are any significant, at least, that I can ever remember of. Because each and every one of the other things in your life, your son, your wife, your home, your job, and so on and so forth, they've all been by the grace of God, because it seems like it doesn't work when you do certain things by your own merit, and it just seems like things sometimes just magically work out, and Lord is gracious. The Lord is good. He somehow just makes it work. Just can't explain it, but just that's how it seems to me sometimes, that God somehow makes it all accomplished. I don't know how, and by the grace of God, he makes it however he makes it. And we're not supposed to rely so much on that aspect of the law. You know, that's one reason why... Oh, that's too bad. I had a guess for a second, and then he disappeared. Lame. Anyway, but let's move on. Let's move on to the rest of this 2 Corinthians study. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with open face, beholding in a glass of glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. End of chapter 3. There's something good to remark there. Kind of expanding on what I was saying before, the Lord has changed us. We go from a people being so desperately hungry to fulfill, you know, maybe more people are like me than I think, that they're desperate and wanting to hungrily and feeling so needfully to fulfill that accomplishment of that so-called American dream of having the nicest house and having the so many kids and then the wife and the successful job and this car and this this gym membership and all this other stuff that the white picket fence and all this other stuff that people hunger for and whatever. And we want to be that good person. That's what we hunger for. We want to have that life that doesn't have any sort of rockiness. And I've been learning that if you don't have any rockiness in your life, then there's something wrong. I know I've heard many ministers say that in the past, but I've lived that more firsthand than ever before. And I've heard from my believer conversations, I don't know what I want to call it, but where I've had my nighttime devotionals, recently, where I've read from multiple readings of Christian greats of history, like as though they're talking, it seems like as though they're talking to me practically by the way that they collaborate together in complementary sense, which is weird how that works, but that's one message that God's really pushed on my heart is, even though you want to be able to earn this and do that, you need to stop. You need to just stop. I'm not saying that you can't work hard, because obviously we need to work hard at our jobs, and obviously we need to work hard if we're going to start a business or whatever, but we need to stop thinking that it's all just us. That it's all just us. We need to stop thinking that way. It's not just us. God wants us, from what I've understood, he wants us, yes, to work physically, but he doesn't want us to think that it's all about us. He doesn't want us to think that we're doing anything to make it any better. He wants us simply just to achieve his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants us to acknowledge him as that great sovereign king that he is, and he wants the work, though, to be primarily of Christ. You know, this ministry, it will take off when he wants it to. It's irrelevant how smart I get. It's irrelevant how I push it. If people aren't ready to see it yet, and if people are, if their hearts are still hardened, you know, the wrong people are not going to care no matter what I do, no matter what I say. But the work of Christ is what makes, ultimately, what something is accomplished, accomplished. You know, my son, for an example, that was all because of Christ. Yes, there was the Femara drug, but if the Lord had willed for us not to have our son, he would have willed for that Femara fertility drug to not work either. So there is that aspect that you have to have that work, but you have to have that work solely based on the faith that God's going to make it happen as he feels it needs to happen. You can't be Mr. Empire, Mr. I'm making a name for myself, blah, 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 Mr. I'm going to make things right, I'm going to make this better, because I've learned when it comes to my life at least, I can't do that. And sometimes I just make it worse when that's the case. And I think that's one thing that Paul's teaching here, is that this church in Corinth, that is one reason why that church got better, is because the people put their hearts to the Lord, the teachings of God, rather than making it more about them. And Paul was discouraging them from making more about them. That was a temptation they had in 2 Corinthians, in addition to doing some really sexually immoral, sinful things that we already talked about in that study. But now let's get to chapter 4. We have enough time in the last 8 minutes or so to do 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here before we do the end of the show. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in sight of the gospel. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believed not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All right, so pause for a second. So this is, yes, we do some physical work, but this is the Lord who we are supposed to make shine more than anything else, and he will make himself shine if we give them that opportunity. If we don't desire to try to hide that light. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So we really truly live for what the Lord teaches and who the Lord really is, rather than just putting on this fake show, in a way kind of a jab at the Pharisees, but just at so-called religious people in general, who, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to talk this way and that way, and make it look like I'm doing a great job, and blah, 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 blah. And on the inside, they're just they're a hypocritical sinner who's indulging in secret sins and doesn't care. But they're trying to make it sound like that they're A-okay with everything they're doing. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there like that. You know, we all have that temptation as Christians to want to put on our Christian mask and then want to put on our unbeliever mask, you know, our fleshly mask. Oh, this is my Christian stuff I'm doing, and now I'm going to do my own thing after this. We should be about the Lord's business throughout our lives in general. We're not supposed to do it as a mere act or as a mere, oh, I have an itch, I gotta scratch it, okay, the itch is gone, I'm done with this now, kind of action. And partially because Paul warns in verse 2 at the end, verse 3, excuse me, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So there are moments sometimes when if we do that, where we only want it to shine when we want to, then when it's supposed to shine at times, it's not shining. And that's one reason why Satan wants to distract us with certain things in order that we don't reach out to those people. As it says in continuing on in verse 4, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So there are times when Satan distracts us on purpose so that those people who need that gospel of Jesus Christ don't get to see it. That's why we have things like political correctness. Oh, you can't say that to that person. Blah, blah, blah. Or you can't do that. Or just certain distractions in general. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't need to do that. Or, oh, you don't need to... You don't need to think that that's a big deal. You know, you don't need to speak about this particular Bible study you had, or you don't need to tell them about the fact that you went to church. You know, you don't need to let them know you're a Christian. You don't need to put God involved in any part of this world of yours. You know, just try to be that good person and earn your affection with them and so on and so forth. You know, trying to deceive you into thinking that you need not to, well, preach. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, Jesus, and ourselves for your servants for Jesus' sake. So I'm not saying like preach like how some people are, but at the very least, us being that Christian witness, that's something that's not supposed to be kept to ourselves. You know, there's people who act like as though, oh, religion is only your business, blah, 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 blah. If we really believe what the Bible says, then everybody needs to hear this message at some point. Maybe not. There are some situations where it might not be the most appropriate, I grant you, you know. But you have to understand that there's a proper context for people to hear that. At the very least, we just need to be that... We just need to be that willful servant who's willing to let the gospel of Christ shine. And actually shine, not be something that's just smacked in the face. You know, that's one of the difficulties of being a Christian. It's hard to determine that sometimes. But let's continue. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, then the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So the more that we are willing to do this, the more that God in his own way is going to give glory to this life on earth, you know, and that Christ will shine more as we allow him to. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, then the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet inward man is renewed day by day. Again, a reminder, if we're making it more about a physical work, it's going to perish and it's not going to last for very long. But if it's more in regards to seeking that spiritual comfort and seeking the spiritual lessons of life, you know, that's something that's going to be more lasting and impressioning. You know, that's one reason why some of the best gifts in life are not the expensive things, but the ones. And, well, let's read the rest part of these verses and then we'll be done. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. End of chapter 4. So, it's important, as one lasting note, that we are supposed to be this way in order to not, you know, in order to fulfill the purpose of the Lord, but also in regards to, in addition to everything else I've said, because of the end scheme of the picture of it all, where our lives are taken in that reality when we serve the Lord versus the reality, the alternate reality of when we are all about ourselves, is far different than we can ever imagine. Just think what your life would have been like if you had never met Christ, if you had never met certain people, if you never changed certain decisions. It'd be very significantly different, wouldn't it? And that's why there's some glory to that, because the work of Christ shines in such a way that it's so bright we can't understand what it is at times. But it is for our own good that we are this way. And praise God that He is willing to put up with us as we are, no matter how much we complain, no matter how much we screw up. And He's there to love us, and He's there to guide us. But you have to be willing to do that. And the Lord's been teaching me more and more that I have to make it more about Him and what I say and what I do and what I feel, and really push myself to mortify that flesh, as the Puritan John Owen would say. But that's all the time we got for today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when we look at, let's see, where we are on this checklist. We are on Exodus 17:20. Now, for some reason, I'm seeing that I already did chapter 3. That doesn't sound familiar to me, but whatever. That's all the time we got for today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when we look at the book of Exodus. But God bless you, and thank you for listening.